In the Warren County Radio Bible School this morning, we're going to be talking about where Paul told us that we needed to take up the whole armor of God. That's found in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 13. Wherefore, take up the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 6, 10 through 12, just before that verse, finally, be strong in the Lord, and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the world rulers of this darkness, against the spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. In 1925, E.A. Elam wrote concerning principalities and powers and rulers of this darkness and spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places, that these embrace the mighty and various host of Satan, all opposed to Christians, from chief rulers in Satan's kingdom to its broadest extent and deepest depths, the chief rulers and political authorities in the kingdom and other governments of the earth, and leaders and rulers in the darkness of moral and spiritual wickedness, and all error and deception, which sit enthroned in high places of religious authority. Against all this, Christians are called upon to stand. You may want to turn in your Bible to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. And while you're doing so, I'll remind you the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rockcliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rockcliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now let's look at this text about the whole armor of God. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 13. Wherefore take up the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Because of the craftiness, wiles, and power of Satan put forth in all these agencies and in all these ways, Christians are taught and exhorted to put on the whole armor of God. The victory can never be gained without this. To leave off any part of this armor is to fail. With it fully on, Christians can withstand all the wiles and powers of Satan in the evil day of the strongest temptations and the sorest trials. And having done all to stand, let us learn and even become familiar with every piece of this armor. Beginning with the head, these pieces are as follows: the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the girdle of truth, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and the preparation of the gospel of peace. Each piece serves its particular purpose. We read in Ephesians 6 and verse 14, stand therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. That's the first one mentioned, the girdle of truth, having girdled your loins with truth. The girdle helps to strengthen the body, held the armor to it, and under it was tucked the loose flowing garments worn when traveling. God's word is truth, and it is the Christian girdle. It will make them strong indeed. Peter, in 1 Peter 1:13, speaks of girding up the loins of your mind. Jesus exhorts his disciples to let their loins be girded about, or to be watchful and faithful. Of this coming Savior, Isaiah 11 and verse 5 says, righteousness shall be the girdle of his waist, and faithfulness the girdle of his loins. The breastplate of righteousness is a strong protective and defensive piece of this armor. Righteousness and truth are here and in other scriptures connected together. Righteousness embraces obedience to God. No one in disobedience to God can be righteous. My little children, let no man lead you astray in regard to righteousness. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he, Jesus, is righteous. Jesus did the will of God, and for that reason was righteous. All who do God's will are righteous. All who do or practice sin are, on the other hand, of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. 1 John 3, verses 7 and 8. If ye know that he, that is Jesus, is righteous, you know that every one that doeth righteous is begotten of him. 1 John 2:39. Then to put on the breastplate of righteousness is to obey God. That is, to love his truth with all the heart, to lay up his word in the heart so as not to sin against him. Psalm 119:11. To practice all that is fair and just and true and right toward men. To have a conscience void of offense toward God and man. Foretelling the coming and intercession for Israel and the Redeemer of mankind, Isaiah says in Isaiah 59 in verse 17, that he will put on righteousness as a breastplate, a helmet of salvation, or salvation for a helmet. Paul says Jesus loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Hebrews 1:9. Christ's disciples hate every false way. We read in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 15. And having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. This piece of armor for the soldier was metal greaves for the protection of the legs below the knee, or the military boots for the feet of the lower part of the legs. This armor for Christians is preparedness, the preparation, which living in obedience to the gospel gives. Preparation to march in obedience to God's will at all times and under all circumstances and under all conditions. A soldier everywhere. In contrast with preparation for carnal warfare, this preparation is furnished by the gospel of peace, a preparation for peace. The whole armor is in strong and most impressive contrast with that of carnal warfare. In verse 16 we read, withal taking up the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one. Faith is the shield. All know the soldiers made of their shields of, and what defense and protection they were to the soldiers. The shield, it is said, was 4 by 2.5 feet. The apostles alludes to the great oblong shield or sanctum which covers the whole body. Anciently, soldiers threw fire darts formed of cane and tow and combustibles ignited on the head of the shaft so as to set fire to the work, woodwork, and tents, etc. Faith in God and in Christ, trust and reliance upon their word, is to the Christian the shield. To increase faith, it is necessary to study regularly the word of God. Since faith cometh by hearing, the word of Christ, Romans 10:17, more deadly to the soul are the fiery darts of the evil one, the temptations which come through the lust and passions of the flesh and fiery trials of persecution, 1 Peter 4:16, than the literal ones to the body hurled by soldiers. But with the shield of faith, all of these can be quenched by being sober, watchful, steadfast in faith. Christians can withstand Satan. 1 Peter 4:8 and 9. Firm and steadfast faith in Christ is the victory of Christians over the world. And in this steadfastness, the evil one cannot touch them. Hence, with all the armor already mentioned, Christians must take up the shield of faith. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Take or receive the helmet of salvation. To the Thessalonians, Paul says, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation, 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 8. Hope makes Christians bright and strong and never puts them to shame, Romans 5, 3 through 5. It is sure and steadfast, Hebrews 9:6 and verse 19. By hope we are saved, Romans 8 and verse 24. Hope is made stronger and brighter by resisting temptation. The aggressive weapon is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Christians must accept and use this sword. Jesus vanquished Satan by the use of this sword. Jesus believed and quoted the Word of God, saying before making the quotation, "It is written." For the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, Hebrews 4 and verse 12. This is the only sword Christians are commanded to use. It is strange that so many use the sword which God forbids and fail to use the one He commands them to use. Space forbids our dwelling on the length of the spiritual power of God's Word. Let us observe that putting on and using this armor is very practical and is something Christians are commanded to do. The pieces not already found, ready, made in God's armory, they must be put on by Christians, by cultivation and practice. No piece can be left off. And the soldiers of the cross gain the victory. Only as they are so clad from head to foot can they fight the good fight of faith and receive at last the crown of righteousness. Let me read Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 through 20. And with all prayer and supplication, praying at all seasons in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and on my behalf, that utterance may be given to me in opening my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that is, I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Note the expression, all prayer and supplication, praying at all seasons in the Spirit, watching thereunto, all perseverance, all the saints, and on my behalf. All prayer means prayer of every kind, in secret, in the home, in the congregation, in all affairs of life, for everybody. While supplication in connection with prayer means imploring God in personal needs to avert evils. And all these Christians must preserve at all seasons in the Spirit, or the Spirit in their hearts, for instance, crying, Abba, Father, Galatians 4:6, also helping their infirmities, making intercession for them in persecutions with groanings that cannot be uttered. Watching thereunto means with a view to prayer and supplication, to continue in prayer, to be instant in prayer, to pray without ceasing. In addition to prayers and supplication for all saints, Paul requested the Ephesians to pray for him that he might not shirk, but might open his mouth boldly to preach the mystery of the gospel. This mystery of the gospel is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow partakers of the promise in Jesus Christ through the gospel, Ephesians 3:1-7. Paul was an ambassador on behalf of Christ for this purpose. But he was in bonds at that time. He was bound with only one chain, Acts 28:16. In these trying conditions, he was preaching the gospel in his own hired house. And he felt the need of the prayers of the church and the help from God that he might do so boldly. If this heroic servant of Christ with such sublime courage felt the need of prayer, then we need it today.